embezzle some of your funds, and it can really ground your operations. Your cash flow will be affected negatively. You're working, your customers are paying you, but you realize that you don't have the cash flow. It can hurt your operations and even your growth as a business. You need to take insurance to protect yourself from these things, because it is something that happens all the time.
Is there a limit to how much cash a business should keep on their premises? I mean, what practical advice would you give to an SME to reduce their exposure to risks in that sense?
So you need to look at the scale of businesses, or the scale of the business you are in, the nature of the business, where if you have more people paying you for the cash aspect, we want to operate a cash-like society, So it is not advisable to have too much cash on you, because it even draws attention, you know. An ordinary man,
I'm going to get insured anyway.
An ordinary man will be tempted to do that. So you try to minimize the cash. This is an advice even from the central bank and all of that.
Okay.
I mean, these days, forward-thinking organizations don't handle too much the physical cash. You want to do bank transfers and use the checks and all of that. However, depending on the nature of business you do, where people have to come and pay, maybe it's physical goods and people have to come to your premises and literally pay cash because maybe you are demanding it. You look at this, the nature of the business, and try to gauge the level of cash that you need around you just for the operations. Anything more than that, you should go to the bank. That is why the banks are there. So don't keep too much cash that you don't need around you, because really, you don't need it. You expose yourself to all kinds of things when you have too much cash around. So keep the cash at a level that is optimum for your business operations. You need to buy something. You need to get certain things in place for your operations, for your daily operations. That minimum level of cash, a certain level of cash, is what you should have. Beyond that, there's no fixed amount, because it depends on the business, nature of the business.
I was asking because there's a tendency to become reckless, knowing that, well, it's insured, so I can keep monies anywhere. And
not
then...
exactly. Even you endanger your own life if you keep too much cash around you. I mean, you don't want to lose your life. So try to minimize or close every little opportunity that would bring about somebody coming into your premises to threaten you, to point a gun at you or pull a knife at you and say, hey, give me the money, because they have information that you keep a lot of cash around. Okay, so keep it at a minimum level, which would allow you to operate as a business. Apart from that, you are not a bank. The banks are there to serve a purpose. Take that money to the bank and be safe.
So if the worst happens and a business loses cash, what does the claims process look like? How quickly can they get
every claim receive thank
support.
You very much for the question.
Yeah.
Every claim will require that you substantiate your loss. So you complete a claim form if it involves embezzlement, for example, if it's losing cash because it's been stolen, the law even requires that you report it to the police. We need a police report and all of that. So, and then the records that you have, you provide the records as evidence of what has been taken, and together with all other documents that will require. Once you bring these or submit these documents to us, we go through the process, carry out our own assessments to be able to come to a conclusion that indeed X amount or Y amount is what you've lost, and therefore that is what we have to pay you, and then we pay.
And well, this show is for SMEs, right? And I'm sure people are wondering, well, I don't really need this cover. I'm not a very big business. I don't have so much cash. So who really needs this cover?
Everybody needs it. So the other day I was talking about the fact that for those in the SME, even informal sector, we think that it is the big corporates who need these insurances. But you need it even more because you've sunk your savings over a certain period of time to start a small business, and the business is going on. You've invested a lot, and if you should lose it, it will really affect you. All right. So you need to take the insurance. It is not that mentality that it is only for the big corporates. It's only for big organizations. It's I'm a small business. I don't need it. You need it because you never know what will happen. Don't wait or don't operate with the mentality also that, oh, fine, we've heard it in the news. Somebody lost their money here. Armed robbers went to that house or went to this bank or went to this company. It won't happen to me. You know that it won't happen to me mentality. It is a risk. It can happen to you. So protect yourself, because if your personal savings is gone, it may take you several months. Sometimes you don't even have the opportunity to bounce back. And I shared a statistic the other day.
Please do share it again for the benefit of those of us who didn't follow. Yeah.
Four out of five businesses that experiences a major uninsured loss are not able to fully recover. That is 80% of the time that you won't be able to recover if you don't have insurance for your business. You'll not be able to bounce back. That's what the statistics says. And this is scary. You don't want to be part of that statistic. So take insurance to protect your business. Insurance is not complicated. Insurance is not expensive. It is better to pay a premium of 100 cedis and protect yourself, or a premium of 200 cedis or 1,000 cedis or 5,000 cedis, depending on the scale of operations you have and the assets and everything you are insuring, and be at peace that when something happens, you are covered. You will not throw tantrums in the air and cry and wail because something has happened. I mean, from the floods that have occurred, it's all over the place. I mean, people are crying, people are wailing, people have built houses, they finished their houses solidly. You know, cars are floating in water as if it is, somebody said in a local, as if it's milk conco. You know, it can be very devastating. So yes, protect yourself. As an individual and also as a business, protect. We saw pictures, we saw videos of warehouses whose goods have been washed away by the flood. The goods are floating, the goods were floating on the water. You don't want this to happen to you. If it happens to you, it can take a long time for you to get back. You understand? So it is important you have. We all have, as business owners, we all have a good understanding of insurance and how beneficial it is for us to have insurances in place for every aspect of the business to ensure that in the case of an eventuality, we can still bounce back and then continue to do our business.
All right. Are we done with money insurance?
Yes.
All right. You are listening to the Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Daryl Kwam, in for Yao Banafo. It's streaming live on our social media platforms, on X, on Facebook, on YouTube as well. If you're listening to us, if you have any question, you can reach us. The text line is 055-111-1997, 055-111-1997. I guess we also have time to open the lines just in case you want to call us, 0302-216-541, 0302-216-541. You can reach out to us if you have any question for Michael Labby. We are talking about insurance. We've been talking about money insurance as well as insurance for staff and for directors. I want to backtrack a bit before we go on a break, because somebody who is listening sent me this, that many business owners don't realize that they can be sued personally for decisions they make as directors. Can he explain what directors and officers insurance is and why it's important?
All right, so we take decisions when you are appointed to the position of the director of a company. You can take a decision for which you can be sued for. Mm-hmm. All right, so the business would always want to protect itself from the acts and omissions of its directors. So at that level, you can commit the company. All right, or you can take certain decisions that can bring about a liability mm-hmm. or a claim against you. It may be a management decision that you took, okay, and it can bring up a personal liability issue. So you take the insurance protects you from the negative outcome mm-hmm. of a decision that you take as a director. It's very key for businesses, so you don't find yourself exposed when a lawsuit is slapped against you. So, for example, you have an arrangement or you've entered into a certain agreement with an investor to pump in money into your business. The investor pumps in the money and it's agreed that this is what the funds is going to be used for. But then you take a certain decision that instead of using it for that, you want to use it for something else. And sometimes even it goes to the extent of even using it for your personal benefit, mm-hmm. not for the business, but for the your personal benefit. So you are misapplying the funds. That investor can sue you, all right, because you took that decision. So you take insurance to protect the company, because once the director is sued, the brand of the business and all of that is affected. You want to protect yourself as a business from all of these things. You may never know when a director's decision can bring about a liability. So you take insurance cover so that you are covered. I mean, your brand is not negatively affected, because even if something should go wrong, you have insurance to take care of that.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I think you mentioned it, but if a claim is made against a company director, their personal assets, could it be at risk as well?
Depending on the nature of the case or mm-hmm. the issue, yes, it could be extended to your personal. It can become a personal liability. Yes.
All right. This is the Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM. We are talking insurance. A timely conversation, especially in the wake of the floods that we witnessed a few weeks ago. We are taking a short break. We'll come back with some more. Don't go anywhere.
Favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session, and you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy 997 FM or at Joy Business GH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-1119 97, and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
And welcome back from that short break. Welcome back to the Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM. We are talking insurance the whole of this month. And in studio with me is Michael Labi, who is a chartered insurer with several years of experience spanning relationship management for corporate broker and agency channels, quality assurance, underwriting and claims management. He's currently the Assistant General Manager Corporate Distribution for Enterprise Insurance Limited, the leading non-life insurance company in Ghana. And we've been having an insightful conversation on insurance so far. If you're listening to us, if you have any questions, you can send them through to this WhatsApp number, 0551111 1997, 0551111 1997, or you can call 0302-216-541. Now, are you looking for a job and not sure where to search? Viamo keeps you connected anytime, anywhere. Just call 231 on MTN for free and select your preferred language to catch up on available job vacancies near you. That's not all. You can also listen to real-life advice from experts to improve your daily life. All these are available on MTN short code 231. Viamo Technology is bringing you closer to the conversation. All right. We've got this message from Cooks, listening from Agboba. A very educative discussion indeed. May I please ask if political parties are or should be insured as well. As a foot soldier, we encounter several unfortunate incidents on the field of campaigning and mostly abandoned by the party to bear the cost or consequences incurred alone. Please advise.
Yes, so political parties can take insurance.
Okay.
Okay, for their staff, their employees and the like. So, you know, they have these at different levels, at the national level, regional level, constituency level. They have officers who work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take insurance. So one of the insurances we looked at is the insurance for employees.
Okay.
Where I talked about one type where you are looking at people who work with their hands, so the factory hands. But the other type is the administrative type, largely political parties have more of clerical staff. You can take insurance, and that type of insurance that will be suitable for them, which I mentioned, is the group personal accident insurance. That is a 24-hour cover, mm-hmm. and it has no geographical limit.
Okay.
So anywhere in the world, you are covered, and any time of the day, you are covered. So as your officers move around to work, whether they travel for conferences outside the country or within the country, as they go around for their campaigns and everything, you must have insurance for them so that if somebody's injured or if somebody dies as a result of an accident, mm-hmm. all right, the person can be catered for under the group personal accident insurance. So indeed, political parties should look at this critically, because you don't want always to be dipping your hands into your own coffers or your own funds to be compensating or sorting out your workers who get injured as employees.
All right, so Cooks, I hope that answers your question. 0551111997 is the line to text your questions to. I have one about the staff and directors cover, and competition is good for employees, and it's becoming tougher. So beyond salaries, how can insurance benefits help businesses attract and retain skilled workers, do you think?
As an entity, when you operate and people feel safe in the organization, in terms of the fact that they know that if something happens to them, they can be catered for. So organizations take all kinds of measures,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that employees are safe. So organizations can take insurances to cover death of employees, to cover injury that employees may suffer, even outside the other aspect of insurance, where you have health insurance, organizations can take even that to provide some relief for employees who may get sick and may go to the hospital, and then the insurance will take care of that. So when people feel safe, if something happens to them, they will be catered for in a good way, they feel safe to work and they give off their best, because they know wherever they go at any time of the day, once there's an insurance cover which has been procured by the organization, it makes them feel safe, and then they're able to give off their best.
Well, one more. Clarity on what group personal accident insurance is. How is it different from workmen's compensation?
Okay, so there's a difference. As I indicated, the workmen compensation is more suitable for what we call workmen, factory hands, people who do manual work,
mm-hmm.
all right? They are working with machines. Okay, so you have a fruit factory, somebody's job at the machine is to be able to push the pineapple on a certain level for it to go into a machine. Okay, as they do that, mistakenly the machine can trap the hand and cut it off.
Oops.
Right, at any point. So typically these are people who work with machine, who work with their hands, physical, very manual. All right, so that is what the workman compensation insurance is suitable for, and is for those kind of environments. Is hazardous, very physical. All right, so factories and the like is more suitable to do the workman compensation insurance. When it comes to the group personal accident insurance, it is more suitable for, because these are clerical staff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your office, your managers, your salespeople, your accountants, whatever, all of these, they are not doing manual work, all right, as in working with machines, all right. These are administrative staff, so clerical staff. It's more the group personal accident is more suitable for them. And these are people who don't only work from one location. For the factory hand, it's just to the factory. They work, if it's for 8 hours or a certain shift, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, they work, they close, they go home. But for the clerical staff, they move around. Your accountant may have to go to the bank. Your salespeople have to be out there in the field. Your managers or your senior managers or ESCO, it may involve traveling even outside the country to go and close business deals and the like. So because the group personal accident offers the geographical, the worldwide cover, it has no geographical, it's more suitable for them because they move around a lot. They are not just working from one location. The work demands that you move around as a salesperson, travel from point A to point B, and even sometimes out of the country to go on expositions, all right? So the group personal accident is more suitable for clerical staff, while the workman compensation is more suitable for non-clerical staff, for factory hands, or what we call the blue-collar jobs.
All right. So what are we moving on to next?
We are going to look, the last one we'll look at for today is the goods in transit.
Goods in transit.
Yes. So as a business, you may be dealing with goods, okay, movement of goods. If you're a factory that is producing items, products, it may mean moving the goods from the factory to a depot, and the depot, you can have it at the regional level, you can have it at the district level, across the country. Okay, so you are moving goods. It may be bags of cement, it may be bags of rice, it may be wood, it may be whatever. As the goods are being moved, they are exposed, and when the vehicle is involved in an accident, these goods can be damaged. Whilst the goods are in transit, they could be stolen. If the vehicle catches fire, the goods will be burnt. So you take the insurance cover to ensure that if something happens to the goods, you will not lose out. You get the necessary funds back to be able to procure another consignment of goods and then get to the destination where it has to get to. So movement of, and these are largely by, there are even haulage companies who cart goods as a business for different people, for different clients. So there are organizations where they produce the goods themselves and then move the goods around, all right? And then there are also specialized companies who can come to you and strike a deal with you that I can move your goods for you, okay? Mm-hmm. It may even move your goods to wherever you want to take it. It can be anything. So all the things we use, the soaps, everything we use, they are moved around. And you need to have this cover so that if something happens, you can be safe. You may import computers, and it may mean moving them from one branch to the other to do the installation and all of that. All of that can be catered for under the goods in transit insurance.
Well, some business owners rely on transport companies,
yes,
and assume they'll be compensated if anything goes wrong. Is that always the case?
You when you are giving a contract to a transport company or a haulage company, one of the things you should ask is that, do they have insurance for the movement of the goods? Otherwise, if something happens, they will have to cough out money from their own coffers, and sometimes they may not have the money. So it becomes a tussle between you and them, because the vehicle has been involved in an accident, the goods are damaged totally, and they don't have the money. Their transport company does not have the money, or if they have just a portion of it, or like I'm saying, they may not have it at all. It becomes a tussle between you and them. So to prevent all of that, to ensure that you have comfort, you want me to give you the contract to move my goods. Do you have insurance for the movement of the goods? you need to ensure they have it, so that if something happens, it doesn't become, as we say in our local balance, you need to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, just back to the warehouse story. Right. I mean, where does at what point does goods in transit insurance begin, and at what point does it, the cover end?
Once it is moved, once the movement starts from whichever location, the goods in transit kicks in. So the goods are first loaded onto a truck, right, and then the truck moves. Once the truck moves, the goods in transit cover takes effect. Now, the risk stops when it is it arrives at the destination.
Okay.
And then it is offloaded. So we have, even for the unloading, you can also include unloading risk or offloading risk, because the goods must get onto the track. It must be loaded, whether it is human beings who are loading it or you are using machines like forklifts and so on to do the loading. When it gets to the destination too, it must be offloaded. So apart from the movements, you can also add risk associated with unloading and then offloading. All of that are catered for under the goods in transit insurance.
Is it for only importers and manufacturers? Does it apply to wholesalers, retailers, online businesses making deliveries every day?
Everybody, if you are moving something and it means a lot to you, you know, like we always say, you don't always have money for these eventualities.
Right.
So once you're carting goods, okay, you need to make sure that you have insurance for the movement, okay, of the goods, so that something happens, the insurance cover can release funds for you to be able to put you back where you were.
All right. We have just a couple of minutes to end the program. So I want you to sum up all that we've done and what the takeaways are for our listeners who are taking notes, I believe.
All right. So don't underestimate the eventualities your business can be exposed to. Your business can be exposed to fire, can be exposed to flood, can be exposed to windstorm, can be exposed to theft of the physical assets. And the physical assets, we talk about your buildings, we talk about your office contents. Your assets also include your motor vehicles. You need to take insurances for that. So your motor vehicles and every equipment that you use as to generate income for the business. Those are the physical assets. You also need to take insurance for your non-physical assets, as in your employees. We all know that your employees are your most valuable assets, all right? So you need to take insurance for your employees so that if something happens to them in the course of work, they can be catered for. And you can, depending on the nature of business you do, if you're a factory, you take the workman compensation insurance. If it is your administrative staff, you can take the group personal accident insurance. Then when it comes to money, take insurance to protect yourself. When it comes to embezzlement of funds by staff, it can happen. It happens, so we hear of these things all the time. If you go to the courts, there are always companies out there who have taken their employees to court because the employee has stolen money, has embezzled money. Take insurance to protect yourself. And then when it comes to business ventures that move goods, you move goods, you are a transport business, you are a haulage company, you move goods, please take insurance so that if something happens, you know that you are protected.
All right. And next week, what will we be looking at? 30 seconds, if you can.
Next week, we'll be looking at product liability. It's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. And then we'll complete it by going into marine insurance.
Wow. Many thanks once again to our guest, Michael Labby, Assistant General Manager for Corporate Distribution at Enterprise Insurance, for sharing your expertise. I think it's been insightful. And for everybody listening this afternoon, I hope it has encouraged you to take a closer look at the risks your business faces and whether you have the right protection in place. That's the masterclass today. My name is Daryl Kwal. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully, our panel will be back next week to continue with this discussion as we take a look at insurance the whole of this month. Thank you for listening. It's Joy 99.7 FM. I believe Drive is up next. The news. All right. Stay tuned.
2 o'clock.
Joy Headline News at 2 with me, Michelle Latte. Cabinet has revoked Executive Instrument EI-144, restoring the Achimota Forest Reserve to its full protected status and reversing the 2022 decision that removed about 361.5 acres from the southern portion of the reserve. The Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Emmanuel Amakufo-Ibua, announced the decision during the Government Accountability Series.
A historic cabinet decision taken on the 24th of June 2026 to revoke Executive Instrument EI-144 as amended by EI-234, effectively ensuring that the Achimota Forest retains its original status as a forest reserve and providing ecological safety zone for Accra and its environments.
Anti-Galamsey campaigner Kenneth Ashigwe has applauded the move and has also called for more effective operations by NIMOS.
When you fly over Accra, it's only the Achimota Forest that has a semblance of forest, and it was important that we restored it to a protected nature. And so I think that we need to celebrate this particular one win, our fight against the degradation of the environment. And I think the minister will be commended. When it comes to the issues of NIMOS, I think NIMOS is doing quite well. But the challenge is that it seems as if it's only this minister who is fighting Galamsey. The rest of the people who support him to be able to make sure that this fight is effective. It's not as effective as we ought.
The Ghana Medical and Dental Council has raised concerns over increasing encroachments on their land located at Pantine. The land, which is partly fenced, is currently taken over by makeshift structures, a church, and other unauthorized structures. Listen to Registrar of the Council, Dr. Divine Bayubula, who took the Health Committee of Parliament on a tour of the land during a parliamentary monitoring exercise earlier today.
The people want to test, and if the state does not assert its authority, how can you claim to own land that is war and in a government? Actually, that thing I cannot understand. So those are the issues. It may come up when the final notice duration elapses and the board gives further direction, and we need your support. We will be happy to call on you, and we will rely on your support and advocacy on the floor.
Now, a mop-up exercise is continuing across the country following last week's national cleanup exercise, with government insisting the campaign extends beyond the two-day exercise. Local Government Minister Ahmed Ibrahim says significant progress has been made in evacuating collected waste while cleanup efforts continue at several locations.
Substantial mop-up activities have been continued across all the affected areas. So even though the president directed that we do it for 2 days, we are still doing mopping up, and as we are going to continue with the mopping up, including the evacuation and transportation of collected waste to final disposal site, decongestion of refuse accumulated points, and other sanitation intervention. Significant progress has been made as the work continues. This tour that we are going to go this morning is therefore an opportunity for us to take you to key selected locations that you can see the progress for yourselves.
As fuel prices are expected to rise from Thursday, the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers, COPEG, is renewing calls for government to prioritize a strategic fuel stock program to cushion customers from global market shocks. Executive Secretary of COPEG, Duncan Amar, says the program will enable government to build reserves during periods of lower prices and intervene during price hikes by relying on stocks secured when global market conditions became unfavorable.
Government would need to pay closer attention to the strategic stock program that we have been calling for over the years. You cannot have the tanks of bust still empty at this point when just 2 weeks ago or a month ago prices were dropping and we could have taken advantage of that to get some product in tank. If prices are even to go up tomorrow and government did stock up a week or two ago, government could safely intervene to say, look, there's enough in stock, and so you do not need to apply the current spot prices to the market. We can be able to cushion the market.
That'll be all for now. For more news, do log on to myjoyonline.com. I am Michelle Latte. Next is Drive Time with Lexisville.
Joy 99.7 FM.
joy that I give you every day. Every time I hear the joy in there, why is for yeah? Cause every time I hear joy, I say, every time I hear the joy, I don't wanna turn off my radio. Every time I hear the joy.
Hello, this is Morris, and I say keep on listening to Joy 99.7 FM.
right, that's right. Yeah. Here we go. Absolutely. I'm here to drive you home safely on Joy 99.7 FM. Good afternoon, Ghana. Welcome to Drive Time with Lexus Bell. Yo, 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 yo. Thanks a lot to Darrell and the Masterclass crew for a very educative discussion this afternoon on your superstation. Totally loved it, and I hope you did too. Well, it's coming up to 12 minutes past 2 o'clock, and this afternoon I put together a good collection of real smooth songs that will make your afternoon really, really cool. You know what I mean? Plus, great discussions. We showed you what's happening around the world, some sports. You know, the Drive Doctor is going to come in. It's a Wednesday. Our Drive Chat with the Drive Doctor, Dr. Yao Safu, CEO of Medicas Hospital, East Ligon Hills and Mampo Equipment. Today we're having an open clinic focusing on men's health. We'll activate the phone line so you can call in and ask the doctor any question about men's health, you know. And he would definitely address it right here on your superstation Joy 99.7 FM. Let's start off with our footprint statement. And you know, time has a very quiet way of teaching us what truly matters. It humbles us, heals us, and reveals that some of the moments we once rushed through were actually the moments that shaped our lives the most. Look, one day you realize that the delays, the disappointments, the silent battles were not punishments, they were preparation, you know? So cherish the present, trust the process, and remember that every second you're given is another chance to grow and become the person that you were created to be. That's my bit for you in our footprint segment as we kick off Drive Time here on Joy 99.7 FM. Yeah. So like I mentioned, the doctor will be here to talk about men's health. We've been discussing men's health since June. So if you're a man and you have a health problem or something you need clarity on, you know someone who does and needs medical advice, well, you can send your questions to us ahead on 055-111-1997. Later today, when Dr. Safo gets in, we're going to share with him so he can address them properly right here on Joy 99.7 FM. This is live consulting room on the radio, you know? You're going to love it. Yeah. Plus, like I mentioned, I put together a very good collection of tunes that you would like. Yeah. Like this one from Johnny Drill, that starts off our show. It's a very simple question. How are you, my friend?
I know sometimes it be like said, nobody's in true. That's what I did for you, my friend.
Lexus Bill.
Why do you know Vex for me? Say I never call you since, but I hope that you are.